Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, question.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the late, great Louis Grizzard?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Many people listening to the show right now probably have never heard of the late, great Louis Grizzard, but he was a Southern comedian who lived in Atlanta, Georgia, I believe is where he was from.
Writer, columnist.
Yeah, and a columnist, that's right, for the Atlanta Journal
Constitution.
And Constitution, also known by some as the Atlanta Urinal and Constipation, but I'll let you make your own judgment there. Having lived in Atlanta and read that newspaper a time or two, I'm more prone to agree with the latter rendition. But one long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I was listening to an audio clip of one of Lewis's acts, one of his acts, and he, towards the end of the routine, he basically threw out this question, or actually this comment, I should say. In the dog sled of life, if you ain't the lead dog, the scenery never changes. And with that lovely quote, welcome to Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you could join us today, and you can do so by phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. Now, I've mentioned before on the program that I am somewhat of a fan of the Kim Komando show. Kim Komando is a tech guru. She's got a weekend program that airs all across the country, and I have subscribed to some of her email newsletters just so I can try to keep track of some of the tech trends in the world. I don't do a very good job of it, but every now and then I see a headline in one of her emails that makes me want to dig a little deeper into that subject matter. And in one of her recent emails that I received, I saw a headline for a video that was titled this way: "He quit a cushy job to walk dogs and couldn't be happier." So when I saw that, I'm thinking, ooh, job-related video, Career Callings material, I have to investigate. So I logged on to her website, pulled down this video. By the way, I will link to this video on my website, careercallings.net/radio. So if you desire to take a look at this yourself, you can. The whole video was about 7 minutes long, which obviously is way too long to air on our program here today. But I did kind of snip it down a little bit to about a 2 to 3 minute window, and we'll play that for you in just a second. But let me kind of set it up for you before we do. The video chronicled the story of a guy named Matt Hein, a professional dog walker in Oslo, Norway. Now, he went to university in England and studied international management and French. And for the first 4 to 5 years or so after graduating from college, he worked in the finance industry in London, England. And as the video indicates, in a portion of the video that you won't be hearing on the program, but if you do go to her website, you'll be able to see it, he indicated that he used to get up every morning at 6 a.m. so he could make it to the train by 6:20. Now that right there is amazing to me, how you can get out of bed at 6 and get ready and at the train stop in 20 minutes. That's quite amazing, but that's a story for another day. So he got to the train station by 6:20 in order to beat the crowd. As he said in the video, if you hit the train at 6:32 for the 6:32 train, you couldn't find a seat. And it doesn't matter if you were sitting down or not, the train ride was about 1 hour from where he lived to London. So he'd get to work early before the boss got there. He'd stay late after the boss left in order to give the appearance of hard work. But he claimed and admitted that he did not do a lot of hard work on his job. Claims that no one else in the workplace did either. Many of his coworkers were just as lazy as he was, he indicated. And he and his coworkers usually lived for the weekends. They didn't enjoy their work, so they would live for the weekends. And after about 4 or 5 years of this, around age 26 or 27, he said, you know what, I've had all the fun I can stand. I've had enough. He decided that it made no sense to live only for the weekends when most of his life was lived during the work week. So he quit his job, moved to the French Alps, and then chased a girl to Oslo, Norway, as many guys do. They'll chase a lady. So he found himself in Oslo, Norway, after following his girlfriend there, and opened up the dog walking business. So that's the setup, and now let's hear what he has to say for the next couple, 3 minutes.
And so my passion for dogs was there, and my passion for nature from having grown up around it was evident. And I decided that there was definitely a market for a dog walking company here in Oslo. I could see that one or two other people were doing it. I thought, wow, there's an opportunity here. You know, I would love to be out there 5 days a week. And I basically get paid to be an adventurer and hang out with dogs. And it's so... I don't think this is one of my customers, but I can hear one. And it's so rewarding to be able to take dogs that otherwise would be inside whilst their owners are working long days, you know, 8, 9, 10, maybe more hours. And these dogs, they love it. I have no regrets. Absolutely no regrets. Quitting finance, but no regrets. Everything I've done since that time, not all of it has been fun and laughs, but all of it has been what I want to do. It has been, you know, if for too many days in a row I wasn't doing something that I loved, I would just change. It's so easy to think in our heads, oh, you know, I can't do this because I've got this, I've got that, I've got this, I've got... No, just change. There was a quote last night that I was that I heard, which was that there are many things in life that you can fail at. So you might as well fail at doing something that you love, because otherwise, if you fail at doing something you hate, what could be worse? What could be worse? Like, okay, so do you know what? Like, I'm not saying that the dog walking business will go on for like eternity, for years and years. You know, I don't know when. You know, no one knows what's going to happen, but I am loving doing it at the moment. I get so much reward from it, and it's such a good feeling. And I get to share that feeling with other people who I get to give the opportunity to have a similar feeling. And that is fantastic.
Now, you did not hear the portion of his interview where you could detect the loathing he had in his voice for his old finance job. However, no doubt you heard the passion in his voice for the dog walking business he was engaged in at the time of the video there. And his advice kind of reminds me of a book I have referenced before on the program called 30 Lessons for Living, Tried and True Advice from the Wisest Americans, written by Carl Pillemer. And published a few years ago now, I think 2011, I believe, was the year it came out. And for that book, Carl Pillemer, a psychologist, had interviewed roughly 1,000 senior citizens, people ages 65 to 100, and compiled 30 life lessons from his interviews with them over a 5-year time frame. Him and his staffers doing that. And this quote from the book is very similar, a little bit longer, but very similar to what Matt Hine was telling us just a minute ago. And here it is. The view from the end of the lifespan is straightforward. Time well and enjoyably spent trumps money anytime. They know what it means to make a living, and they're not suggesting that we all become starving artists, but they know firsthand that most people who decide on a profession because of the material rewards at some point look back and gasp, "What have I done?" In their view, we all need a salary to live on, but the experts concur that it's vastly preferable to take home less than your paycheck and enjoy what you are doing rather than live for the weekends, a.k.a. Matt Hine, that's my insertion there, live for the weekends and your 3 weeks, if you get that much, vacation a year. If doing what you love requires living with less for the experts, that's a no-brainer, end quote. And that's basically what Matt Hine was expressing in that video. I don't have any idea what he was earning as a finance guy in London, England, but obviously it was pretty good, I would imagine. I say obviously, I would imagine it was pretty good. Most folks in the finance industry do earn a decent wage, and he walked away from it to earn probably a lesser amount of money. Don't know for sure, but probably a lesser amount of money as a dog walker. But you could hear the joy in his voice, and that is so much something we all need to remember. Matt Hines' attitude, the attitudes of Pillemer's experts, really boil down to understanding what your time on this earth is really worth. Now, the true value of your time is not measured in dollars and cents, and that's where we really get messed up. It's not just a cultural thing in America. It's the same issue across the world. It's been the same issue for decades and for centuries. If you read the Bible, the book of Proverbs is all, and not just Proverbs, the entire Bible, there are samples throughout the Bible of how people are foolish, the Bible says, to measure their lives in dollars and cents and always be seeking for treasures on earth when they should be laying up treasures in heaven and building relationships with people here on earth. So the true value of your time is not measured in dollars and cents. It's measured in the joy and happiness and pleasure we get out of our daily work for God, which includes the work you do for Him in the workplace, but also at home and at church and in other volunteer activities you engage in. As Exodus 31, 1 through 6 teaches us, God designed us with a package of personality, skills, abilities, and passions that make us excel at certain types of work. And if we engage in those types of work that God designed us for, then we'll live out the message of Ecclesiastes 5:18, which basically teaches us that we are to enjoy our labor. And as Psalm 37:4 teaches us, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It all starts with putting God first, by seeking the kingdom of God first, as Matthew 6:33 puts it, and everything else falls into place. Now, on the other side of the break, we'll pick up with our analysis of Matt Hines' story and talk a little bit more about how we can apply lessons from his video to us. In the meantime, if you have a dog, go give it a big fat hug. See you in a minute.
Remind me again when I can listen to the Laura Ingraham Show?
Every Monday through Friday, noon till 3, right here on Christian Talk 660 at 92.9 FM. And don't forget about Steve Dace.
Oh, yeah, I really like him. I just wish he was on in the afternoon.
Well, you're in luck. He's on right after Laura from 3 to 5. All on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
I'll preset my radio dial right now. Thanks, Mr. Radio Announcer.
You're welcome.
I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, and brochures, there's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
North Greenville University and Alex McFarland invite you to hear the best assembly of Christian speakers available anywhere this year at Truth for a New Generation. It's going to be at First Baptist Spartanburg, September 18th and 19th. The theme this year is Jesus, America's Hope. Come hear the Benham Brothers, Lee Strobel, Dr. Alveda King, Will Graham, Dell Tackett, Todd Starnes. Get your early bird ticket prices and get them today by going to truthforanewgeneration.com. That's truthforanewgeneration.com.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
The more you listen, the more you'll love what you hear. Life-changing Christian Talk 660. But our lives aren't just measured in years.
They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Back from the break, Robbie Romeiser at Career Callings, 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or Robbie at careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Well, before the break, we were listening to and analyzing an audio clip from a video about a guy named Matt Hine. Matt Hine had spent several years as a finance industry fella in London, England, and left that career in order to become a dog walker in Oslo, Norway. And as we were going through that, we were talking about how he seems so much happier having left the finance industry. You didn't hear that part of the video on our audio clip, but when he was working in the finance industry, talking about the finance industry, he hated it, but he loves his dog walking. And as I listened to him and listened about his transition from one career to the next. And by the way, I have no idea if Matt Hine is a Christian. I have no clue whatsoever. But something he said about himself at the beginning of the clip I played for you helped to illustrate some of what I want to talk about here for the next few minutes. He loves the outdoors and he loves dogs. He did mention that early on in the clip I did play for you. Earlier in the video, a portion that you did not hear from, he talked about growing up outdoors, growing up loving dogs and gravitating, no doubt, to this dog walking gig because of these built-in passions he had for being outside. And it was no wonder he was miserable being inside, tied to a finance job, which had nothing to do with being outdoors. And this is a great example of why it's so important to assess yourself and understand that part of finding, preparing for, and pursuing God's calling in your life is understanding what kind of work environment you are wired for. Do you like the indoors or the outdoors? Well, if you like the outdoors, you're going to hate an inside job. If you like the indoors, you're going to hate an outside job. Are you an extrovert or an introvert? Now, if you're really introverted, if you're really passive and very quiet, you're going to be just fine being led by a dynamic, extroverted boss. But if you're an extrovert yourself, you're going to hate working for someone like yourself, okay? You would thrive under the leadership, however, of an introverted leader who would facilitate your creativity rather than compete with it. Knowing who you are and understanding what kind of work environment in which you would fit well is something we are well-equipped at Career Callings to help you understand, and we'd love to help you do that. And you feel free to call me off-air at some point, 864-381-7649. Or contact me by email at robbie@careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net, and I'll be glad to tell you about how we can help you do that. But back to the value of your time, the parting thought we had right before the break hit was that basically what Matt Hine is teaching us is don't waste your time, and that was a lesson that was very much in tune with something that the 30 Lessons for Living book I referenced before the break mentioned as well. 1,000 different senior citizens interviewed for that book, all agreeing that you should not waste your time on work that you hate. And another idea behind this, the value of your time, understanding the value of your time, I ran across an article not long ago by a guy named Kevin Cruz, and it was printed at Forbes.com. I'll link to this article on careercallings.net/radio. And it was titled Time Management and the Power of 1440. Now, time precludes me from going through it in great detail, but let me just summarize it for you this way. There are only 1,440 minutes every day. Now, that includes all 24 hours of the day, so you're going to be sleeping a good part of those 1,440 minutes, which means you have even less waking time than that to do what's important in life. And Kevin Cruz made a great analogy in the article about how to really value your time, and he said it this way. you would not allow a perfect stranger to come up to you at an ATM. Maybe you had your ATM card out. You were about to swipe it into the in your own bank's ATM machine. And some stranger comes up to you, somebody you don't even know, and says, hey, do you mind if I borrow your ATM and card? And by the way, can I have your password so I can go ahead and take your money out of your bank? Oh, sure. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Here you go. None of us would do that. And so he's trying to equate that with your time. And one of the things he mentioned is not to be rude per se, but be very wary, be very careful about giving your time away to people, for example, that maybe you don't even know or don't know if they will be able to connect with your calling in your life. People want to network all the time. People want to run an idea by you all the time. People want to pick your brain all the time. And again, don't be rude. And you know, if it's a divine appointment from God, maybe that you're not planning for, but you can share something with them and that will open up to you sharing the gospel with them. I'm not saying reject that, but I know from my own personal experience, I have had a very difficult time in my life telling people no. When people ask me to help them do something, I'm very quick to say yes, to a fault, because I say yes to so many different things that have nothing to do with the work God has called me to do, that I distract or detract, take away time from God's calling in my life to help other people with things that I probably shouldn't be helping them with. Now, there's a balance there. You got to make your own judgment call. You got to prayerfully ask God for wisdom to let you know who to spend time on and who not to spend time on. But understand the value of that time is what I'm getting at. And we just need to understand that you just need to be very careful how you spend your time. And just to kind of illustrate that as well, it's been some years now. It was May of 2011 when my mother passed away. And some many months after that, I and my sister and my stepfather were kind of rummaging through some stuff that she had left behind. And while I was looking at the stuff, you know, I found a lot of things that moms and dads keep. I found some stick figure drawings from myself and from my sister, and some, you know, Mother's Day cards that we had drawn up or maybe bought or whatnot. So there's all that kind of stuff. But during my stroll down memory lane, I stumbled across four pieces of paper that I did not recognize, have never seen them before. And they were promotion slips to second, third, and fourth grade. Notification of high school graduation, and the name on each of the slips was my mother's. And instantly, before my mind's eye, stood a little girl the same age as my younger daughter. And then in a flash stood a more mature girl about the same age as my son. And then there was a young woman in my mind, not much older than my older daughter, who'll be a senior next year in high school. And finally came a string of images of an aging woman who not long ago left this world behind. An entire life of 65 years came and went like a puff of smoke, leaving behind a legacy of love. Between my mother's life and my own, I surveyed over 100 years of life in mere moments and the paperwork that she had kept in her family, in her possession. And as two generations of my family flashed before my eyes, I understood in a way I had never before understood what God meant in James 4:14. For what indeed is your life? It is a vapor that appears but for a little time and then vanishes away. And that's why we need to be so very careful about what we spend our time on. It does not make sense to spend a lifetime on a work or a job or a career that you're not fitted for, that you're miserable with, that you know God doesn't want you to do. You're only in it for the money. God is clear, there is labor and all kind of profit. So go find out what God wants you to do, prepare yourself to do it, compete for work in that field, and serve Him every day, and your life will be so much more fulfilling if you do. This idea of distraction we talked about a minute ago from that article from Kevin Cruz, I want to be very clear. You know, that's not new to modern American guys and gals thinking, okay, this is something that Christ Himself exemplify when it comes to trying to make sure you stayed focused, or you do stay focused on what you're supposed to stay focused on. Many of you are familiar with the story. Mark chapter 7, in verse 25 in particular, reads this way: "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him," being Jesus, of course, "and came and fell at His feet." And during that passage in Mark chapter 7, this woman, who was a Syrophoenician woman, begged Christ to heal her daughter of a demon that had possessed her. And you know, you would think that God's initial response, as it was in most cases, Christ's initial response would be, and as it was in other cases, okay, I'll grant your wish. But that's not what he said to this lady. What did he say to this lady? He basically said, look, I'm here to serve. I'm here to go after the children of Israel first. You're basically, as a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile. It is not fit for me to spend time on you when I am here to spend time on the people I'm here to spend time on. And her response was, it's okay even for the dogs to eat the crumbs, because Christ had basically said it's not fit for the dogs to eat the children's food. She said, it's okay, though, even the dogs do eat the crumbs that fall beneath their table. And in that response to that, then Christ did indeed heal her daughter of the demon and spend a little bit of time on her and her need there. So in this short account, we learn that from Christ how we should interact with life's distractions. First, you ought to say no to those things which would pull you away from the things that God has assigned you to do. Now, amazingly, most of the things you say no to will go away immediately. But every now and then, there will be those things that will continue to compete for your time, just like this Syrophoenician woman did. And in that case, what you must do is address the distractions that are pressing. And that's what God did. He told her no first, hoping she'd go away. But then when she continued to press, he spent the necessary time to deal with that distraction, take care of it, and then get back on track with that which he had been sent to do, and that was to minister and reach out to the children of Israel. So in such cases, deal with the issue that is pressing, even if it is a distraction. Deal with that issue as quickly as possible, and then return promptly to those needful things which God has assigned you to address. That's the way you deal with life's distractions there. Now, one of the things you need to remember as you try to figure out what to spend time on and what not to spend time on is really to assess who you love the most. Most of the time when we allow distractions of this life to take us away from God's work, it's because we love ourselves more. We love our own goals. We love our own desires. We love the money we think we can earn. When in reality, what are we supposed to do? Seek the kingdom of God first and everything else. All of our desires that are in line with his desires, he will give to us. And if we can just understand that loving him first is the way we were made, if we act in accordance with that, then our career callings issue, all of our issues will fall into the place they should fall into. Thanks for joining us on today's show. If you'd like to get a copy of this show, feel free to visit careercallings.net/radio, where you can download a free podcast of the program, links to the articles I referenced, and so on. Two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. Do you know why God created you? Yep, to serve him, even in your job. God bless.